Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Broncos coming after Favre. Throws it over the middle. Intercepted and dropped. The first championship for John Elway and the Denver franchise.
The crowd goes crazy. Jokic has a triple-double.
Intercepted by Colorado. Deion figures. Colorado has defeated Notre Dame 10-9.
It's good! Pain of the game. He just struck a dagger in the heart of the Detroit Red Wings.
Spanning Colorado sports, college and pro. It's time for Clar & Company, brought to you by Argonaut, on behalf of the Other Side Academy Addiction Services, with Michael Clar. National, regional, and local voices on Clar & Company are heard on the winnersandwiners.com hotline.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Saturday morning. It is Clar & Company, and I'm Michael Clar. And we offer you a moment of clarity from 8 to 10 this morning, followed by Clemson and Wake Forest. Big game here, and of course on the Fan, you know, starting at noon, pregame, you'll be able to get the Colorado State game against Sacramento State, who is a power. We'll be talking about that later in the show with Sean Keeler. That is hardly a gimme for Jay Norvell's first game. But we open today, as usual, with a Broncos blast. We'll have another one, Kyle Newman from the Post at 9:15, talking pure Broncos. And we do that this morning with Ian St. Clair. You can follow him at Ian St. Clair. Follow him and read him at Colorado, playcolorado.com and the Mile High Report. And he does that Broncos odds and end zones podcast. They renamed their podcast, Ian Adam Adelnati. And good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Michael. It's not the week where it feels like a win in Broncos country.
No, it doesn't. But you're our glass more than like almost brimming, not even half full guy.
So, oh, absolutely. And that's not going to change on this segment.
I didn't expect it to. So before I ask you if the Broncos are still in the preseason that they didn't have in the preseason, let me say this. I think some people I was listening to, maybe they were national people, misunderstood the Broncos fans and their disgust with the Broncos turning on the home team fairly early in this season. I don't think the fans were turning on the Broncos at all. I think what they were saying is that they were upset about just the sheer incompetence of the game management. I don't think they were booing their players. I don't think they were rooting against their own team or anything like that. It just the unfathomable incompetence they saw during that game in terms of game management.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely it. And I think it's also, there are high expectations for this team, and whether they are unrealistic, at least to begin the year, I think that's part of it too. I think they thought the Broncos would come out and look like Peyton Manning and the Broncos in 2013 when they scored over 600 points and made that run to the Super Bowl, and we'll forget what happened in the Super Bowl. But I think it's totally what's been going on with clock and game management. And I think a lot of that it takes time to get that, especially when you're a rookie head coach, but there are just some things that fans just can't excuse. And one of them is not having a punt returner out there on your punt return. So I think it's just, it's not so much that they're happening, but it's just how often and how consistently it's happening.
You know, this could be revisionist, defense of the Broncos by former Broncos, for instance. But the theory emerged, or the story emerged late this week, that actually the punt returner, Montrell Washington, didn't go on the field because he saw that it would be too many men on the field, and he didn't want to give the Broncos a penalty that would hurt them, that he actually was very astute for a young rookie.
Well, I'll take that. So I hadn't heard that, but let's roll with it, because I think Nathaniel Hackett needs all the excuses he can get for how he's been managing his games. But I will say this, and I said it on my Broncos Odds and End Zones podcast with Adam, if the Broncos score touchdowns, if they go 50% in the red zone against Seattle and against Houston, neither of these games are close. And I don't think that we're not as focused on the game management and clock management issues, because in both instances, neither of the games were close, and the Broncos blow out both the Seahawks and the Texans. So that's what I'm focusing on, is the red zone and go-to-goal issues.
No question. I mean, the Broncos have a clear superiority in talent over the two teams that they played so close, one of which they lost unfathomably. but isn't that the point? That they didn't, and why not? And in one case, in the Seattle case, it's not all Hackett's. It's not even primarily Hackett's fault, in my opinion, because they do give the ball to the running backs on the 1 yard line, and both fumble. And that's not something that shocks us about Melvin Gordon, but it does a bit about Javonte Williams. But in both cases, there he did use the running backs. He did do the right thing. And they still didn't execute. And that comes back to, the question we're starting with, are the Broncos still in the preseason that they didn't have under Coach Huggs?
Well, it's not just the two fumbles. It's the shovel pass to Andrew Beck that gets called back because of a Courtland Sutton false start penalty. It's two touchdowns that are basically toenails with the second foot out of bounds. It's the other near tight end catch against Seattle. So, I mean, it's not like they're that far away. And it's not like, I mean, obviously the two fumbles, one of them, I think, was caused because Quinn Meniere's got hurt and Graham Glasgow got blown up on his play. And I think it was the Javonte Williams fumble. So in terms of the penalties, that's where you can say that they're still in preseason mode. But I think the execution has been there. They've just been incredibly unlucky on some of these red zone and go-to-go situations. And I think at some point that has to flip. And I think it happens this Sunday night. But the penalties obviously need to be addressed. They need to be cut down. But the offense is one of the best in football in terms of drives, yards per drive. They're able to move the football at will against either defense, against Seattle and Houston. It's just a matter of finishing drives now. And then Ajiro Evero's defense has been phenomenal. After that first half against the Seahawks, they haven't given up a touchdown. So it's right there for the team. It's just a matter now of finishing it off, basically putting a bow on it, and you do that by scoring touchdowns.
Okay, but the problem with all of that is these were two teams where the Broncos had a serious advantage in talent, and especially at quarterback, and they were life and death with both teams, and they didn't play well, and they made the mistakes that you probably wouldn't have made hardly any of those if you have a normal preseason where guys hit and guys are in football shape, not just in good condition. And now they play a team that arguably, I would say, has more talent than they do. And has just gone back to a veteran quarterback that takes them to championship games, to their division champion, to their conference championship game. The Broncos hurt by injuries, decimated in some cases, missing key players. Here's a team that got better because of injury, because Trey Lance's learning curve is cut short. He's not on the field, and you got a guy who wins, who is in there who can do the job. He may not be a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but this is a much better team with Jimmy Garoppolo, at least first half of the season. And this is a whole other deal. So you actually think they wake up against a terrific offensive and defensive team.
This is a team that 2 weeks ago lost to the Bears. Are we focused on the 49ers because they blew out the Seahawks and forgetting about what happened against Chicago, or are we doing that because Trey Lance got hurt? So I'm looking at it like, okay, so they blow out the Seahawks, but are we forgetting what happened against the Bears?
No, so, no, we're not, but it's the same as the Broncos losing their first game for the same reason. You know, they didn't prepare in preseason.
So I'm looking at this game, and there is a clear advantage at quarterback. Russell Wilson is so far superior and better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And Russell Wilson knows how to play against the San Francisco 49ers. He has 16 wins against this team. In his last five games, he's 4-1 against the 49ers with 13 total touchdowns and one interception. With all the focus on the red zone issues, on all the focus on goal-to-go situations, on clock and game management, the fact that this game is on Sunday Night Football at home, the Broncos are going to put an emphasis on it as they have all week. And I think they are going to look like the team that we thought they were going to look like against Seattle and against Houston.
All right, so you mentioned the good offense puts up yards, and they certainly did against Seattle put up yards. They are number 7 in the NFL in total offense, very impressive, but 24th in points per game, and that's the only stat at the end of the day that matters. So, all right, give us the breakdown on this one. Why and where will the Broncos succeed, and what's your prediction?
I think the Broncos defense, as I mentioned, has been phenomenal after the first half against the Seattle Seahawks. I think DJ Jones, you're going to get Josie Jewell back as middle linebacker. He's going to be there with Jonas Griffith in the middle. I think that's going to really help them make this offense one-dimensional, because if you take away the running game, you make Jimmy Garoppolo have to throw the football. And when he has to do that, he's not very good, and neither is this offense. That's going to allow Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb to get off the edge and get pressure on this quarterback. It all comes down to making the San Francisco 49ers offense one-dimensional, and I think DJ Jones is going to be able to be the catalyst, the harbinger to make that happen. I think the offense, like I said, they've been able to move the ball at will. I think that's going to continue against this defense because Russell Wilson knows how to have success against the San Francisco 49ers. Sounds like Jerry Jeudy and Pat Surtain are both going to be playing. I think that's huge for this team, especially Jerry Jeudy. KJ Hamler is going to be playing. If the Broncos on their first possession, I would love for Nathaniel Hackett to call up a deep shot to KJ Hamler, complete the pass. You get the crowd fired up. You get the offense getting some confidence. It feels, and I'm not just being a Broncos homer, this feels like a Broncos game that comes together, and they rout the 49ers. I'm not saying that it's going to be close. I think the Broncos put it all together and do what they should have done the first 2 weeks.
Mile High would be deafening if he opens up with a big, long shot down the field and Hamler brings it in. What's your score?
I have it 31-17 Broncos. I think the way the defense has been able to play and keep the opposing offenses at bay, if they can make the 49ers one-dimensional, which I think they can with DJ Jones and Josie Jewell, and the offense is going to be able to finish drives. I have it 31-17 Broncos.
All right. Wow. Bronco fans are once again cheered by your glass brimming, not just half full. And frankly, I think the 49ers win a close one here, but we'll see. Ian, always a pleasure. We'll compare notes next week. Thank you.
The glass will either have been empty and toastful, or it'll have been thrown against the wall.
Yeah, broken in the fireplace. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Michael.
We follow this with Midwest One Bank's Kicking It with Kiz. Mark Kisla and I debate when Kiz asks, four teams in our dusty old Cal town spent nearly $800 million this year on players to be face of the franchise. Rank them. Bryant, McKinnon, Jokic, and Wilson. Who's the most valuable?
You're listening to Clark and Company with Michael Clark, Saturday mornings at 8, presented by Argonaut on behalf of the Other Side Academy Addiction Services.
All guests on Clark and Company are heard on the winnersandwiners.com hotline.